Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? For secondary school students all over the country, it's the beginning of the summer holidays. Yes, school's out for summer. That's very exciting, isn't it? Now you have to entertain them for 3 months. Well, not entertain them, just mind them. Keep them out of harm's way. Keep them occupied. Good luck with that. 51551 or ray at rte.ie. We spoke to David O'Doherty yesterday and lovely chat on him. He has his first novel out. And it's based on Achill Island. And Patricia was on later yesterday evening to ray at rte.ie. She said, so happy listening to your chat with David O'Doherty yesterday and laughed when he was talking about the mobile bank in Achill. We holidayed in Achill every year when we were young and met the Dohertys in Kiel every year before they stayed in Dugort. See, D-U-G-O-R-T, that's a place in Achill, in case you don't know. I would have played with Jane and Mark on the beach. That'd be David's sister and brother. Many's the time we spoke about the mobile bank, bearing in mind that in our town, and Patricia doesn't tell us where she's from, the army escorted the money vans to banks. So we thought the mobile bank was hilarious. So I always say Achill is in a world of its own. Hope to get a few copies of the book from my nieces and nephews and explain the connection. Thank you, Patricia. I remember our geography teacher, Mr. Loftus, used to say to us that Achill was tied to the mainland by a bridge, which conjured up a lovely image in my head anyway, that there was a bridge with a big knot in it linking Achill to Ireland. And if it wasn't there, that Achill would have flowed off next up America. And the other thing that came up yesterday when we were speaking to David O'Doherty was the fact that his dad, Jim, who used to be the musical director, the MD on The Late Late Show for years and years and years, also wrote the theme tune for Wanderley Wagon and The Safe Cross Code. And it got us talking and we said, yeah, you definitely should give it a blast.
Remember,
yeah.
Look for a safe place.
All together.
Don't hurry. Stop and wait.
Three.
Look all around and listen before you
can you remember
the road.
Four?
Remember,
four.
Let all the traffic pass you.
Five.
Then walking straight across you.
6 feet walking.
That's the safe cross code.
Know the safe cross code. Know the code. I've noticed that the word remember is entering into people's conversations. I was listening to Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, talking on one of the shows earlier on today, and he was going, remember. Now, it's a thing that Luke O'Neill uses all the time. He goes, you see, remember that we have this vaccine and remember that that one's coming over from, but loads more people are using it now. Watch out for it over the weekend. Remember to watch out for it. It's a word that's entering. The other way, these words, they come and go. Look, they do. This is it. They do. Look. Robust. That was very popular for a while. Everything was a robust debate and robust conversation. Remember now to watch out for the word remember. Did you watch it last night? Yeah. Now, as I told you yesterday, I wasn't a huge Friends fan. It was there and I watched a few of them and I laughed and I enjoyed it. But I wasn't obsessive about it. But myself and Jenny sat down to watch it last night with Kate and really enjoyed it. Matt LeBlanc, he's my favourite after last night because he's self-deprecating. I think he suffers from that imposter syndrome thing. That's what Jenny was saying. Because he was describing how he felt when he was watching Friends back. And he was saying, I couldn't take myself seriously at all. I couldn't believe anything I was saying that came out of my mouth. But you were great, he was saying to the other members of the cast, the other five. You were very funny. Not me. You were very funny. And then they got talking. You know, David Schwimmer, who used to play Ross, and Jennifer Aniston, who played Rachel, and James Corden asked them, like, was there any off-screen romances? Because they were young and beautiful and all the things that would be going on. And it seemed to be very intense, the whole thing. Because they got famous very quickly and the six of them were in it together. So he was asking, was there any off-screen stuff? And Ross and Rachel were saying, well, we crushed on each other, if that's the word, the expression they were using. And but it never happened because, you know, we were always in other relationships. And next thing, Matt LeBlanc sort of said into his coffee, budget. So that's the big news from last night, that Ross and Rachel were not just together on screen, but off screen as well. Big news, big news. The other fascination was to see who got the best value for money when it came to cosmetic surgery. you know, well, sorry, cosmetic enhancement. It wasn't always surgery. And you were just looking at them going, yeah, that was good. That's not, yeah, it's not bad. And again, Matt LeBlanc, probably nothing done. I don't think he's had anything done. He just came across as such a lovely, lovely guy. He's my favourite person. I want to go for a pint with him. If you could go for a pint. Well, you can. You can stand on the side of the road and go for a pint. Marcus Rashford, he's an amazing young man, isn't he? And I know Man United didn't win the other night. He has a new book out called You Are a Champion. You know, he plays for Manchester United, 23. He topped the Sunday Times giving list after raising £20 million for charity, getting food donations for those living in poverty during the pandemic. Because he realised, because of his background, how important food was in certain areas in the UK. And he started a campaign and they listened to him and it worked out brilliantly. Well, he's had a big week this week because as part of the launch of his book for Penguin, he's got to chat to former US President Barack Obama. Imagine that, like you're 23 year old, you're from a family of five, your mother brought you up on her own, and now you're speaking to one of the most influential men in the world. This is a little bit of the conversation between Marcus Rashford, 23-year-old Man United player, and Barack Obama.
When you look at the history of big social movements and big social change, it's usually young people who initiate this.
If you give someone a helping hand at a young age, they'll go on to do things that, you know, even they didn't think or believe that was achievable to accomplish.
There you go, Marcus Rashford. This was shocking to me. The Guardian on Friday, I'm a sort of a music nerd, so this is one of my favourite pages of the papers during the week. What they do is they get, you know, an actor or a singer and they rank their work, you know, so they might take, you know, Brad Pitt movies and they give the top 10. And it's just one person's opinion. But what they do this week is they rank Enya songs because Enya celebrated her 60th birthday earlier in the month. And you go, well, you know, that has to be there. Like, that's the one, isn't it? It was number one. It has to be number one. And you're going through it and you're going looking at number 10. No, that's Sway Team. No, that's not there. Then you're looking at number 9, Watermark. No, that's not there. Number 8, How Can I Keep From Singing? Number 7, The Loxian Gate. No. EQN is number 6. Number 5, Pax Diorum. Of course, it's going to be number 1, isn't it? Yeah. I Could Never Say Goodbye. Number 4, number 3. Cursum Perficio. Number 2, Even in the Shadows. It has to be number... No, it's not. It's not there. They have a top 10 of Enya songs and Orinoco Flow isn't there. And they put this one... They decided this one. This one is number 1. Which came after Orinoco Flow. And then you read down and you go, the description of Caribbean Blue, that's what we're playing here. A burbling magical waltz. It is the Orinoco Flow for the true Enya fans. See, I'm obviously not a true Enya fan. Somebody light a candle there, turn down the lights. Yeah. Rub my back gently. Thank you very much. Caribbean Blue. Luke Turner from The Guardian decided that was the top Enya tune. Happy birthday, Enya, if you're listening. Belated birthday wishes to you. Now, we've been talking about it all week, as we should. it's sort of come and gone. But we've been told again that the highest temperatures of the year could possibly be this weekend. Okay, so fingers crossed, barbecues at the ready. The mercury is forecast to hit 21 degrees over the weekend as much of the country enjoys sunnier weather than the unsettled stuff we've been having for the last while. The highest temperature reached so far this year is 21 degrees. That was recorded on the 1st of April, I kid you not, on Valentia Island down in Kerry. So they're expecting 21, 22 this weekend, barbecues out. I was thinking about that and maybe, you know, you need a playlist. So just, I was feeling generous this morning, I had 20 minutes to spare. So I put together 35 songs for your barbecue. You know, lovely stuff. You're in the back garden. Yeah. Smell of cooking burgers. The children are on the trampoline. That's going on the back. That's yeah, that'll work. That'll work. Or this one. That's a perennial. That's just. There are certain songs that work better outside. There are, believe me, there are. Yeah, this one, for example. Thanks, Harry. That's on the playlist, as is this one. So we put it up there, the barbecue playlist. Let's hope we can use it over the weekend. I might play that in its entirety now in a moment. But first, let's see what you're saying on text 51551. My favourite part of Ireland is Achill. My staycation choice this year. Says that person. That brings back memories, the Safe Cross Code. My dad used to sing it to us. We thought it was hilarious. I bet you learned something about road safety though, Anne. It's an important tune. Obama always says now. Now, let me be clear. Now, the thing to remember is, yeah, we all have those words, don't we? Watch out for the phrase in terms of. Somebody someday will tell me what these terms are. Now, remember, in terms of the vaccination. Yeah, I can see that would work. Friends, it made me so nostalgic. But Ray, did they say they've only met once in the preceding 20 years? If they're so close, then why didn't they meet up more? That's the question we were asking. Now, seemingly what has happened is that they're little cliques and they might have met, you know, three or four of them, or maybe five of them, but not all six together. You see, some of them looked a little bit more distant from the group than others, if you were watching the body language. I was annoyed that they put other stars in like Lady Gaga. We didn't need them. The six friends are big enough stars on their own. A lot of people were giving out about that, actually. You know, David Beckham and various other people, that the programme didn't need it. Rumour has it, Matt LeBlanc and his partner have bought a holiday house in the beautiful Northwest. You could be having a drink with him sooner than you think. James Corden hosting was a turn off for me, says that person. And Ray, Caribbean Blue by Enya is a mesmerising classic. And can you please do a big shout out to Aoife Summers, who'll be 44 this weekend. She's been working very hard this last year in Crumlin Children's Hospital and deserves all the treats coming her way. P.S. I looked up the bingo call for her new age. It's 44 droopy drawers. Let's hope not. It's obviously an in-joke there. 51551, Ray at RTE.ie. And here it is in its entirety. Barbara Pravi and the French entry in this year's Eurovision Song Contest. I think it should have won. Voila. Hello. Barbara, can we have the French song, please?
Écoutez-moi.
Voila. Encore. Bien. Très bien. That's Barbara Pravi and Voila, the French entry in this Eurovision Song Contest. It was second, Neil, wasn't it? Second, yes, to the Italian entry. Barbecue song, Mr. Blue Skies. Oh, yeah, Mr. Blue Skies by the ELO. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, you have me there, you have me there. Barbecue song, It's Raining Again. Yeah. Just got the jab at the helix, ready to barbecue for sure. My husband David also got jabbed, as we are both 50 in June. Huge thanks to the whole operation at the helix. Incredible, says Cliona. Yeah, that's the reports from all over the country are that it is incredibly well organised. On phrases, don't get me started, Ray, says Jane Kildare. Remember being the latest one, but what about phenomenal? Everything's phenomenal now, even when clearly it isn't. Also, my biggest pet peeve, the reality is. Remember, the reality is a robust debate is important. Look, you know what I mean now. Irish people use I suppose all the time, says Brian. Cohort, yeah, I fell into that trap for a week until I was pulled into a corner. And Jenny said, "You'll have to stop using the word cohort. I didn't even realise I was using it." Yeah, cohort is very common, isn't it? And then the quarter thing, you see, people are borrowing an awful lot of phraseology and jargon from business. So they're talking about Q2 now, as opposed to what would it be, January, February, March, April, the beginning of April. So the beginning of Q2. No, it's the beginning of feckin' April. Here doing my ironing, listening to Francis' entry, the hairs are standing on the back of my neck. Love it. Love it, love it, love it, says Anna. It's a cracker, isn't it, Anna? It's a real cracker. 51551RadioRT.ie. Do I have to get, I do, I have to get contestants for the quiz. I press that button. Yeah, our quiz of today. Today is the 28th of May. We're looking for two people to answer five questions each on events that happened on this day over the years. You know, the big news stories, scientific breakthroughs, TV shows, movies, songs, births, deaths, the whole lot. All in there. Two people after 4 o'clock and a chance to win a prize. And all this week, we have to say thanks to the people at Radisson Blu in Cork. They've given us a two-night family break. A chance for you to stay in one of their spacious family bedrooms, which can cater for up to 2 adults and 4 children. And lots to do. They have their gardens, indoor swimming pool. That'll keep the kids occupied. Parents have the opportunity to relax and unwind while the children are occupied elsewhere. Why not enjoy al fresco lunch at the Georgian Ditchley House or take some time out with an indulgent Elemis treatment at the spa? You can find out more at www. You don't have to say that anymore. Inua.ie. That's Inua. And thanks again to everybody at the Radisson Blu in Cork and Inua. Okay, we're looking for two people to come on. Here is your qualifying question. In which Irish county would you find the town of Enniscorthy? In which Irish county would you find the town of Enniscorthy? 1850 715 900. It's 1850 715 900. And we could be talking to you after 4 o'clock. Good luck with that.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, confirmation of all the kite flying. Micheál Lehane has just tweeted there. Non-essential international travel will resume on July 19th. This all will be confirmed this evening. From 2nd of June, hotels can reopen here following the outdoor service at restaurants and pubs from the 7th of June. We knew that already. Cinemas and gyms will also reopen on this date. Then on 5th of July, bars and restaurants will be able to serve customers indoors again. And that's been talked about all week, but it's going to be confirmed today, according to Micheál. And a number of test entertainment and sports events with up to 500 people able to gather at outdoor venues in July. I saw a quote from Daniel O'Donnell this morning saying that it probably won't make sense and probably won't be viable to do gigs until everybody can go back. And he's also saying there that it's understood that no cabinet decision was made today on the possible numbers that could be allowed to attend the All-Ireland football and hurling finals. People are waiting for news on that. But we're all been encouraged to get out and to holiday at home. And of course, we're out there and we're meeting friends and we're going for coffees and the odd pint. But the one question on everyone's lips is, where is the nearest loo? With even more outdoor living to look forward to this summer, Tom Wainwright from P.ie, that's P with two E's, joins us on the line to tell us about his genius website, which lists all the public facilities, toilets, loos, whatever you want to call them, in the country. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Ray.
Good to talk to you. You seem a little bit exasperated by your success.
Yeah, a little bit. It's kind of, I set it up more for myself than for anyone else, to be honest. And then kind of realised from people spreading it on Twitter and talking about it that lots of people needed it and lots of people wanted it. So yeah, since then it's kind of, yeah, gone a bit crazy.
Okay, so you're a Liverpool man living in Dublin city centre, and now you are acquainted with toilets down in West Cork, over in Sligo, up in Donegal, in deepest, darkest Longford. It's very strange, isn't it?
I think I've seen the worst of it in Dublin city centre, I think, at the height of lockdown, where, yeah, the pints were flowing, but there was no toilets open.
Okay, so this was the impetus for P.ie.
Absolutely, yeah, and more for myself than anything, I think, to start with. Just realised it's a consideration you make when you go out for a drink. You want to know where the nearest toilet is. And then it's been great since then, actually, that a lot of the feedback that we get is from people with young children or people with disabilities who've found it useful. So it started from me wanting to go out for a couple of pints and has developed into something a bit more.
Okay. So will you give us the requirements for a loo to qualify to go on p.ie?
So essentially it needs to be an accessible toilet. So it can't be in a private residence. Or I've drawn the line at kind of restaurants and bars at the moment. I think things like museums or shops, that petrol stations, things like that, that you can get in. I think if it was limited to just public toilets, there'd be very few of them. So it's a bit of a mix, really. It's just toilets that essentially are accessible and you can get in and use. We do say to people, if they're using one in a shop or a filling station or anything, to try and buy something if you are going to use it.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, if they're giving the facility out, you know, there is a cost to cleaning it and maintaining it, especially these days. So supporting those businesses that are making their toilets available is really important too.
You're tapping into local knowledge, Tom.
Yeah, I think, again, for myself, you know, somewhere far in the west of Ireland or a small village or, you know, parish where there may be a public toilet that everyone in the area knows about, but as you mentioned before, people who are going on staycations this summer who are driving through that area wouldn't necessarily know. So yeah, people who are local experts of where their nearest local public toilets or accessible toilets are, we're kind of using their knowledge to build the map up and get kind of everyone's input on it.
So how many loos, how many icons have you got on the map?
The moment, just over 700.
Right. Okay. That's good going. What and I know this isn't scientific, but what have you discovered about the availability of public toilets in this country?
I would say cities are by far the worst served.
Are they?
Ironically,
isn't that
odd? It's beaches and it's more rural areas that have really beautiful public toilets with flowers and, you know, are really well maintained and are some really modern, nice new designs. And actually, it's the more built up areas where there's more footfall that actually have fewer or even worse facilities available.
Right. And lockdown has brought that home to everybody, and it's put pressure on county councils, hasn't it? And city councils.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think everyone's realised that, you know, if you're out and about, like going to the toilet isn't a conscious choice or decision that you make.
You have to do it. As I said in the promo, when you got to go, you got to go.
Absolutely. It's not, you know, it's not up for discussion, and it's not something that people can decide whether or not to do. If they're going to be socialising outside, there needs to be facilities in place for them. So, yeah.
So when people go on to p.ie, they can do it on their smartphone and it presents them with a map. And will it give you the nearest loo to you?
Yes, so it's a Google map. So you essentially can open it in your Google Maps app and it will be within there and you can refer to it within Google Maps. And then the other part is just essentially submitting the toilet within the website. So I'm sure that there's a lot still out there that we haven't got. So I'm not even over 700. I'm sure there's ones that we're missing. So yeah, we're still looking for those. But yeah, it's a really simple, basic website, purely for the reason that I'm not a web designer.
Right. What do you do for a living?
I work in marketing.
Right. And now you've become toilet guy.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Can I just say thank you on behalf of everyone? Because it's, you know, it's something we all have to do, and everybody has been in that situation where they've been caught short in a car, in a strange town, and they just don't know what to do. And p.ie is the answer. Yay! Are you going to monetize it? Or would that be taking the piss?
If offers come in, I wouldn't say no. At the moment, I'm taking donations on the site, but it's a voluntary exercise for me at the moment, outside of my day job.
Well, I think families are starting to move, as in from today, because the secondary schools are finished up for summer today. So there will be people who will be logging on to p.ie. In advance, on their behalf, Tom Wainwright, I thank you for your work. Thanks. Have a good weekend, Tom. See you. Bye.
Thanks, Ray. Bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
That's the text number. Loads of people are exercised by phrases that get up their noses. I hate when people say, you know yourself. Only the Irish say it to try and make a point, says Robert. From the get-go, awful saying, says Anne in Clontarf. Hi, Anne. The word so is now used to begin most sentences for some people in Ireland. Where did that come from? John and Carlo. I feel an item coming up on this, John, because I don't know, but I'm sure somebody out there does. So, we'll have to get somebody on who's an expert on this sort of thing. I have a terrible habit of saying, there you go, Phil. The problem is, when you're listening to somebody, if you spot one of those words that they say, and we all have them, I say sort of, and I'm going to listen back. If I have to listen back to myself, I don't like doing it, but I always hear sort of. And that's all you can hear. You don't hear anything else. So you hear the look or the remember or the sort of or there you go or don't you know or whatever. That's all you hear. Change the narrative. We used to just say something differently. Now we have to change the bloody narrative. The high street is Fakra's pet peeve. Yeah. The stores on the high street. Getting it from both sides of the Atlantic there. One side the UK and the other side America. Don't forget absolutely. For at least 8 or 9 years, absolutely everybody said absolutely. Hope it stays away, says Eugene. At the end of the day, very popular phrase, says Kay. Didn't Mario Rosenstock make that famous because Roy Keane used to say it all the time. And en voila, the French entry should have won the Eurovision this year. She sang her heart out. No contest. Honest, is that? And I too really wanted Voila to win the Eurovision. I so wanted it to win, but you've just reminded me about it. So I've just added the song to one of my Spotify playlists, says Mags. And I'd love to hear Jack L singing that French song to somebody else. That's something we might arrange in the future. Now, while all of us were watching the Eurovision and it beamed into millions of homes around the world, one person who wasn't expecting to be watching it from his hospital bed was Edward Grimes from Jedward after undergoing emergency surgery earlier that day. And Edward is online now and I think John is in the background. How are you doing, Edward?
Hi, Ray. Thanks so much for doing this interview because you've always been in our corner over the years. Like, it was such a scary time because I hadn't planned. Like, the whole week leading up to Eurovision, I just didn't think I'd be in my hospital bed hooked up to a catheter, not being able to go myself, on my left arm having antibiotics pumped into me. It was such a whirlwind knowing that it was all happening, but I just feel the whole experience just, I was so vulnerable and exposed, and just the whole process and everything was unplanned. And
well,
I just,
you don't plan emergency surgery, Edward. No, that's not the way it
and
works.
It's just so weird because mentally and physically, I wasn't ready for this. Wasn't ready to be getting a COVID swab my nose, get my bloods checked 4 times, being hooked up to a drip. And it was like this excruciating pain all night. I couldn't sleep. I just knew something was up. It's like I was giving birth to an alien or something had taken over my body. I didn't know if I wanted to go to the toilet. Didn't know if I wanted to get sick. I couldn't eat. It was mad. Like, I'm very chill and I know usually I'm not like the drama queen going, Jesus, something's wrong with me. I let it go. But I knew like just that this was up. And then I was already at the peak pain on Thursday night, so I hadn't slept. And then the next day it kind of subsided to a degree where I was like, oh, I'm on my way, I'll be grand. And then I called up the nurse or whatever, and she said all the symptoms, like, get into hospital now. Right. And when I got there, they did my blood tests and they saw the toxicity levels within me weren't right. And then I did a CT scan. It was like a full-on Grey's Anatomy episode. And the whole thing that was really hard was that, thank God I had a shower, thank God I wasn't a wild jungle down there, because like they had to do a lot of checks and stuff. But
you're sorry,
you're hilarious. I'm not a needle person. I don't like needles. And just knowing that COVID was happening, and just knowing that if I had COVID, would they treat me? Would they let me? And originally, they didn't have a bed for me. And there was like this whole bed roulette situation where it's like, if they do the CT scan and it comes back and I have something, they were going to have to transfer me to St. Vincent's. Right. But luckily, the team in the Beacon and everyone, I shared my ward with this really sweet old man. Like, he was literally 80 plus and he was getting his heart surgery done. And I felt I brought so much life to the ward, and just him in general. He was calling his wife. Everyone was just so like buzzing. Like, and it was such a crazy, tragic time. But the only thing that got me through it was humor and just to have the laugh and taking the
picture. I saw pictures of you and I have to say I was shocked by your appearance.
Yeah,
you were gaunt, black shadows around your eyes, black rings around your eyes. You looked very ill.
Yeah, like usually people see me, I'm like a bloody like Ken doll, like there's not a spot, but my eyes, just everything, I just don't know if it's the blood or whatever shows in your eyes, but just your well-being, okay. You could just see it. And originally I wasn't going to tell anyone because I was worried about jeopardizing future work and just not knowing what was going to happen or what they'd suss out from inside me. So, yeah. And then originally I was like, oh, it's too much to be here all by myself, just share the experience with everyone. And everyone was like, aha, you're close to the waterline, because I couldn't actually go to the toilet. So that took me up to a urethra. And I just felt so exposed and vulnerable. And just,
you poor thing.
That was,
and I was so here it was, well.
Yeah, I'd say you were, John.
John's here as well.
Yeah,
everybody.
Hey, John, how are you doing?
Yeah.
It's Edward's story, John, but you must have been very worried.
Yeah, I was. It was really, really hard, you know, not being able to give him a hug or, you know, give him some reassurance or see him before or after the surgery. And I just wanted to, you know, let him know that it was going to be okay. And yeah. I was scared for him. And then I was scared as well. I went back after it was in hospital and I couldn't see him. And I even had a few tears. I'm like, what would I do without Ed? Or like, honestly, I was just, you know, so taken back from it all, because one minute we were bringing him there and then it was we were there with him and then we couldn't see him, and then it's just the anxiety of it all. And just
John had to get me an iPhone charger, he had to get me pants, socks, he was like everything. It was like just a real caring twin, and then he had to leave at the reception, but it was just a weird feeling not knowing.
And Edward, it was a burst appendix, was it?
Yeah, it was like ruptured. Like I it was just like a lot happening. Like it felt like I'd a whole new realm, and I felt like, I know it sounds dramatic, and I know a lot of people do get this procedure,
like,
but the fact that a lot
punched.
Of people, John, are you talking? A lot of people let things go, and you just don't know the damage you're doing to yourself, because you have family members that sometimes they never go to the doctor, they never go to the hospital, they let things go, and it leads to a bigger issue. So I'm just urging everyone listening right now, just if you have symptoms or you feel something, have a quick Google, and Jesus, like, you'll be in a worse state. So just focus on yourself.
You rang the VHI nurse, I believe. You're out the other side, which is brilliant.
100%.
Yeah,
it's just weird because I now have three scars. I'm literally going to embrace these war scars. I'll be like, yeah, I got an operation.
As well as you're the man who's beside you in the room, you'd be not that you became a celebrity. You were a celebrity, and all the nurses wanted selfies, which was brilliant. But you had a spiritual happening. Did you? When did that happen?
You could not write this. I'd literally come home. I'm on my bed, at the end of my bed, just turn the lights off, just chilling here. And this bedroom was the room which our granddad's brother had slept in and been cared for by our family. Our mom had been in this room. This is the room in our house. And even before this whole experience, I have had seen ghosts in my other locations. But over the years, I've just never said anything in fear of not being able to sell the house because people think there's ghosts. But it was like this aura of energy at the end of my bed. It wasn't even a figure. It was more of like a 360 revolving source of energy. And I thought I was imagining things. So I was actually calling a family member, like, just come in and check it, and just like, I'm not imagining things. And I felt like almost like a gust of wind coming in over my shoulder of like speckled stuff, but there was the main focus point was at the end of my bed.
Did it have form or was it just an energy?
It wasn't a human form, but it was like an energy of white. I don't even know. Like, I literally have had so much stories. People hit me up with all their experiences, but I've been that person that doesn't believe in these type of things or just things like that in general.
And were you on painkillers?
I was clear-minded. I was calling people.
No, because morphine, for example, would
no, it wasn't on those strong painkillers. No. I was literally
Edward's a very certain person. He's not just going around trying to, you know, sell a Ghostbuster
gun
or
something. This happened to me when I was 11, 12.
He sees these things.
Right.
It is
energy, and it is nice to know that we are surrounded by good spirits, because a lot of people are doing Ouija boards or calling bad spirits on Halloween everything. So
and
I just think a lot of people
need now is love.
Oh, yes, of course. So these were positive. This is a positive energy, Edward.
Oh no, I was very hot up. I was very God, I can't believe I'm back from the hospital. And this just this overwhelming sense, just calm and content.
Okay.
I wasn't scared, because last time this happened, I was going, oh, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place all my trust in thee, and tell the ghost to move on to the next realm. But this time I was just like, ah, Jesus, I don't care. I've been through it all. I just do whatever you have to do. I need to go to sleep. I really was. I haven't even called him to move on. I'm just like, you need to be here. Go ahead.
Are you fully recovered now?
I know physically and mentally I'm there, but yes. I know physically I won't be doing any bang, bang, pow anytime soon.
Right.
So I'm definitely out of service in those other areas. But we have a new show that we're doing. So we're just kind of getting outfits and stuff ready for that. And that's happening in June. So that's kind of kept my mind off things, just getting things ready for that.
Yeah. I would imagine at a time like this, when you felt, as you said, exposed and vulnerable, that you missed your mom extra. You know, that because at
Which
times
so
like
weird,
that.
Because when you're in hospital, it takes you back to those moments when you go to see your granddad or someone who's having surgery. And the fact that no one was able to be there just to sit and have the chats. It's like all I had was my social media and people sending me some supportive messages.
Yeah.
I just felt like, you know, like during times of this, you realize, you know, you love your twin more than you ever thought possible. Because you're just like, you don't want anything to happen to him. I don't want anything to happen to
Get out of here, you miss world with those lines.
No, I was. I went back and I literally was about to cry. I'm not even joking. I was like,
come on,
he's
so
worried
for
you. Something wrong with him now. I was really worried for you. He thinks he needs to go get his appendix taken out.
I know, I'm scared, but hopefully it never happens to me.
But why is it always me? I've hurt the knee. I've had the appendix out. Yeah. I'm going through a lot more than you, John. You're the perfect twin. You're the
Well, so there's an album coming and there's a TV project which I'm really excited about because I think you should be on telly. I've said that to you every time I spoke to you. So that's there's something in TV
happening. Manifested together.
Great.
Yeah, we're getting it together. It's going to be this new primetime show which you'll hear about soon, like within the next week and a half, but we just can't, we don't have the exclusive thing, but like it's going to be good. It's going to be fun, but we're kind of focused on our album because like, we do make music because I feel like sometimes people, they want to write about our lives and what's going on, but in the end of the day, we still
music.
Always and make our music.
Before I let you go, it's great to hear you in good spirits, Edward. Good to hear you as well, John. You got loads of very positive mentions over the weekend, last weekend, and last week indeed, around the Eurovision. You're hugely popular with the Eurovision community.
Even William Shatner hit us up. Like, William Shatner's 90 and he got logged on to Twitter to send me some good energy.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
But Ray, it is definitely a massive spectacle. I feel like when we went out there, we went out there with an open heart, our energy. You could see it in our eyes that we were making the most of the opportunity. And I feel, you know, Eurovision's always changing the whole time, the face
Ray,
of Eurovision.
Ray, come
and
on. I feel sonically, in the years, leaving us out. Like, that was tragic. Like,
tragic.
Jesus.
Tragic.
But
I
think
it's good morale.
And I think Leslie Moy did do her best.
Here's the question, the big question. Would you consider representing Ireland in the Eurovision Song Contest once again, Jedward? Third time looking.
We're going to do it and you're going to be our backing dancer.
We're going to get writing an amazing song.
Anything.
A song with emotions. Yeah. A song that's going to bring people goosebumps on their skin.
If anything, we're going to definitely be doing the results because come on, like.
Well, listen, I think you should. I think you should. Third time lucky, lads. Third time lucky.
Ray, guess what?
You know the new album.
Go on.
What do you think?
You know what I was thinking?
The
I
new
feel
album,
like they
okay,
do
we're
the
going to do a new album, okay? And we sent you some exclusive tracks there, okay? So
I'll play a little
it'd be
bit
awesome
here.
If you could play a preview of it. Like,
come get your love,
out.
Jedward. Edward, mind yourself. John, good talking
Thanks,
to you.
Ray.
See
Thank
you,
guys.
Yeah.
I know you're searching for something that gives you the thrill and all time high. You babe, I know how you feel. You gotta come get your, come get your, come get your love. I'll make you what you deserve. You
okay, Jedward there. Come get your love, and we'll hear the finished product in the months to come. 5151 Ray at RTE.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, pass on my best wishes to Edward. Get well soon, Edward. That's Maeve in Cork. And my sister had a burst appendix when she was 5 months pregnant. She said it was worse than labour. The pain. Get well, Edward. And the phrase that really annoys me is when I'm in a shop, patiently waiting to be served, and finally I'm asked, are you okay? Why can't they say, how can I help you, madame? Or what can I get you? That's Frida. That's Frida's pet peeve. Now, an Irish couple are to feature on next week's Dragon's Den. They're trying to get investment for their invention. And they join me now in studio to tell us all about it, Aileen and James McCauley. How are you doing, Aileen?
Good, thanks, Ray.
How are you, James?
Good, Ray. Thanks for having us.
Right, so you had a stubborn little baby who didn't want to get their nappy changed, and that's how it all started. Is that it?
That's pretty much it. Yeah. So
Yeah, when our eldest was, when he learned to roll and crawl, nappy changing just became a bit of a battle. He'd flip over, he'd crawl away, leave a trail of destruction behind him, and it would take two hands to try and keep him still, and we'd have no hands left to change the nappy. Right. So it just became a bit of a battle, and we looked for a solution, couldn't find one, so we decided to create our own, and solve the problem, and that's how the Wriggler was born.
The Wriggler?
Yeah.
The Wriggler. Does what it says on the tin.
Right. Describe it to us, James, the Wriggler.
Well, it's like a normal portable baby changing mat that you can take around in your handbag or in your changing bag. And of course, once you open it, it has a bear character on it. So we've one here in studio. So you have a bear character on it. And the difference is that it's bear's arms on it. And what the bear arms do, they crisscross the child's torso.
Ah, so give it a little hug.
Exactly, a bear hug, exactly. Hug. And what they do, that extends down into knee pads. And what happens there is once you kneel on the knee pads, it anchors both the mat and the baby in place, giving them a kind of a security, a sense of security and a bear hug. And it frees up your hands for a faster and easier change.
Ingenious.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a million.
Now, how long did it take you to come up with that?
Well, it took, I mean, our little fella's seven now, so right. We can go with this for a while. Yeah. But, so, like, I mean, we tried lots of different materials, different fabrics. We tried different ways of working it till we came up with something that worked for us. So that actually didn't take too long, coming up with a prototype that worked for us. And it really did change nappy changing back to a calm, stress-free, mess-free experience.
So you used your prototype?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Every day.
Right, okay.
And then I suppose we were at a time when our friends and family were having babies as well. So when they saw it, they were like, oh, my God, we need this as well. And it was only then when we started researching and realised up to 40% of parents experience this all day, every day. And when you think about it, we're changing our babies like 6 times a day or 6,500 times until
potty training. Who did the maths on that? Who did the maths on that?
That would be Aileen. She'd be the mathematician.
6,500 nappy change.
At least until they're potty trained. So, I mean, yeah, we just had to
That's
find
a lot of
something.
Stress, isn't it?
It's a lot of stress for you and for the baby. I mean, nobody wants that battle.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, I suppose when you start to dread nappy changing and you're thinking, no, this has to be, there has to be a better way to this. So the Wriggler really did solve that problem for us.
And it's kind of one of those unnecessary flashpoints that you're in the trenches so many different times as a parent, and parents will experience this the world over. And yeah, like we made it at our kitchen table. And as Aileen said, it kind of worked for us. And
you learned how to sew.
I did, yeah. I basically borrowed a sewing machine and then got onto YouTube, which, you know yourself, looked at the tutorials, taught myself how to sew. And then, as Aileen said, researched the materials and stitched the first prototype. And like that was on a simple level.
But you weren't really calling it a prototype at that stage, were you?
No, this is just
something.
The Wriggler. It was called the Wriggler from day
who
one.
Who came up with the name?
I think I'll take credit for that.
I think I'll give you credit.
All right.
You never argue with the War Office, Ray, you know yourself.
But then I remember we were dropping my son to my parents one day, and my dad kind of said, oh, where's the Wriggler? And we didn't have it with us. And the look at his face at the thought of changing a nappy without it, we were thinking, actually, this isn't just a solution for us. This is something that could work for everybody. Yeah.
So you're accidental inventors then?
Yeah,
that's exactly it. We wouldn't have a necessary background in invention or product design.
What do you do?
I teach. Yeah.
What do you teach?
Secondary school history and religion. From
okay.
The
and what do you do?
I'm an educational psychologist by training.
Right.
So yeah.
At some stage, are you planning to leave the teaching and the educational psychology behind?
Well, when I finished maternity leave for my second child, so we have two kids now, we took the decision to go back part-time. So we shared the childcare and shared the work. So we've been kind of, James has been part-time stay-at-home dad. I've been part-time stay-at-home and part-time working as well. So,
okay.
I mean, that's been working for us really well up until this point. And
and
we'll see where things go.
Working on the business as well, you know.
Okay, the whole experience of the Dragon's Den. It looks to me like one of those huge moments in your life. It's like the leave insert on steroids, is it?
That's it, exactly.
I think that's a really good description.
Oh, is it? Right?
Yeah. I think it
just came up with it now.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Because when you're...
I think, for me, and I suppose even for Aileen, if I'm speaking for both of us, but it's that idea that if you go for any interview, it's quite passive. You know, someone will go in and they'll ask you questions and you'll answer them to the best of your ability and they'll take little notes. You know, going in, and obviously we can't say too much about the experience this side of it, but I mean, you go in there and you know you're going to be challenged. Like, that's part of the experience. And then you also know there's a film crew there. And then everyone you've ever known is probably going to watch your interview back. Whereas in a regular interview, you'll walk out the door, you'll leave it be, and you'll think to yourself, that was an experience. But in this one, it's a bit more open, you know?
Yeah. Yes. So those moments when you come out of a normal interview and you go, I should have said that, or I should have said that, other people would be saying to you, you should have said that, you should have said that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And of course, are we fans of the programme?
We watched it all the time. I mean, we still do. Yeah, we've watched it for years. And then particularly, I suppose, when we're on this kind of journey of trying to bring a product to market, I suppose it was just more relevant than ever. So, oh yeah, like, we've watched every episode. And I suppose when you do step in front of them and you're thinking, like, this is the most surreal experience. Yes. And we're actually standing looking at these dragons that we've watched on TV for years. Yeah. Like, it's bizarre. And in some ways, it's the most terrifying experience. And then in other ways, it's kind of familiar because you kind of recognize them. So it is, it was strange. But, and we only had, I suppose we had 2 weeks to prepare from when we heard that we were going to get on to get the filming date. So for me, it did feel like that 2 weeks was like cramming for your leaving cert, your final year exams, the biggest job interview of your life, all those together. Rolled into one.
But when you strip it all away, it's just the two of you with your regular invention.
Exactly.
Looking to these people to give you money for what? What's the plan? What's the hope? What's the dream?
Well, I suppose as we've said, like,
go on, say the word, you want to go global.
We want to go global. We want to scale it beyond our wildest dreams.
We know it's a problem experienced not only by ourselves, but parents the world over. And like, that's the feedback we've got. Like, we've got fantastic awards on the product. And so many parents have come back to us, those that have discovered us, that it has solved a problem. They call it their sanity saver, you know, and also, like, they've told us and given us feedback that, you know, in terms of the medical space, you know, stoma bags, children with hip
or
dysplasia.
Feeding tubes and that. So, like, there's such, it's so versatile and there are so many uses for it. But there's only so much, I suppose, that we can do ourselves to get the word out there. And it's a patent protected product. So we have patented it. But that brings with it its own costs and its own, like,
are they ongoing costs?
Ongoing. And actually, they just escalate as time goes on. So
because if you have to patent it in every country
that you want, and every year, so you have to pay to file it, you have to pay for it to be examined, and then once it's granted, you have to pay to maintain that for years. So our patent costs are the same as if we were a huge multinational brand. And so that's, I suppose, part of, you know, so that all affects how
and of course,
much we can.
The dragons all understand that because that's the world they live in.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And some, like, plenty of them have had experience with that and bringing
it. So when you think about it, it's an ingenious show because they have all these people who have all that expertise.
Yeah.
You would have to talk to these people one by one, but now you have them all in a room.
Exactly. Yeah. And and I suppose we went on kind of saying, you know, we've proven the concept here. Now we need the help to
bring
scale
it to the next level. And it's that idea going just from the kitchen table. Like, it's fantastic. We've got help at our local enterprise office initially and Enterprise Ireland just to get there. But I mean, to go from concept to creation, or creation to concept, it's fantastic.
And then global.
And hopefully, well, that's the next step, right? We hope.
I'm just going to do a little experiment here. I'm going to watch the body language, okay? I'm just going to say, Dragon's Den. It's good news. It's good news.
No, yes, it is.
You're a psychologist, Aileen. You know, you can't hide it. The non-verbal communications.
It's
Can I just say that both of their shoulders lifted up and a big smile.
That's pure nerves,
right?
Pure nerves.
Okay. So, Aileen and James McCauley, inventors of the Wriggler. And if you put in Wriggler, you will find it. If you're looking for one, if you need a changing mat, that sort of gives your child a bear hug, it's there on and if you want to see it in action, it's BBC TV Thursday night on Dragon's Den. Thanks, Aileen. Thanks, James.
Thanks
so much. Anish Toshinam, the Skelton, and Nog to the Kieran Afarta. Grandma, good. Kieran, thanks very much. Have a good weekend. 51551 ray at rte.ie. Delighted to hear these guys on the radio. I bought one of those for my wee one. Absolutely amazing changing mat. Also, really good for babies who have feeding issues. It's the Wriggler, that's what it's called. And I think you're right. They should have their own show, Jedward. They are hilarious. Made me and my 16-year-old daughter laugh out loud. Love their relationship, but their energy is honest and infectious. Wishing Edward a speedy recovery. Regards, Tracy and Maria Brady. Mum and daughter listening to the radio. I love Jedward. We should hear more of them. They give out book loads of energy. Even just listen to them talk to you on this wet May day. Love them. Real drama kings. Our country needs to hear more from them, says Mary. And more news just in. European Medicines Agency approves Pfizer vaccine for children aged 12 to 15. So that's big news. The vaccine is made by Pfizer-BioNTech, as you know, whose jab is already approved for use in adults and adolescents aged 16 and above. So they did start doing that in America. They started giving to teenagers. Now, it's our time for our quiz of today. Today, 28th of May, and our prize, a great prize, thanks to the Radisson Blue in Cork. We have a two-night family break in one of their family bedrooms, which cater for two adults and four children. Loads of things to do down there and a perfect place to explore what Cork City and County has to offer. You can find out more about Radisson Blue Cork on inua.ie. That's I-N-U-A. Hello, Donald Malloy.
Hi, Ray. How are things?
Not too bad. You're in turn. You're in Dublin.
I am indeed, yeah.
Has it dried up yet?
Just starting to now. It was horrible morning on Ireland, but yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah, it was horrible, yeah. So fingers crossed for the weekend.
Exactly, yeah. It's supposed to be warm, so I'll get the shorts and shades out.
Right, okay. Do you wear sandals, Donald?
No, I'm not really a sandals fan.
No, you're not? No, not at all?
No. I got a pair of the ones where the thing goes between your toe, but just couldn't wear them. So
yeah, flip-flops.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I can't wear those either. I find them very uncomfortable. I think people find them uncomfortable generally. They just wear them because they feel they have to. That's my opinion.
Yeah, you'll be right.
Yeah. So you're a member of An Garda Síochána.
I am indeed, yeah. Off for the weekend also, yeah.
Right. So what was it like during lockdown? Was it noticeably different for you doing your job?
Well, I'm actually attached to the Special Detective Unit, so we had no real, involvement with COVID.
Okay.
Checkpoints and stuff like that. So it didn't make a huge difference to our job, but... except for obviously you were getting stopped at checkpoints all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You were getting stopped.
Yeah. Well,
so what happens then? You just flash your badge and they wave you on. Is that it?
Yeah, or just say hello or whatever. Yeah, and then go ahead and no problem. So, yeah.
I know I can't ask him any questions, so I won't. I don't want to get you in trouble. So who's at home?
Laura's at home and Daniel and Isabel finished school today, so she's actually shopping in Dundrum, so I have to go and pick her up now any minute.
So that's sort of a reward for finishing her school year.
Exactly, yeah. So she's the next 3 months off, so.
That's nice, yeah.
Nice for her, but have to organise childcare now, so that'd be great.
But she's 13.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah, but you're just, some sort of minder, yeah. Up against Shane Lynch, there's the famous name, in Passage West in Cork. How are you doing, Shane?
Hey, Ray, how's things?
Yeah, are you ever mistaken for the boy's own Shane Lynch?
No, as I said, just his ugly or distant relation.
Right, okay. What are you up to today?
I was just going to go for a run, Ray, and then I got a call, so I said I'd defer that for a while.
Ah. Is there a nice running down in Passage West?
Yeah, because we're by the sea, so there's plenty of running spots. There's actually no railway line, and it's ideal.
Ah, and what would you do? How many miles would you do?
Oh, I wouldn't do much now, Ray. I'm going to get back into it. I'd say maybe 20K. Second day.
Yeah, that's good. It's more than a lot of people do. Who's at home with you?
I have my wife, Linda, and my son, Scott.
Right. And what age is Scott?
They're actually on the missing list at the moment. They're over in Fort Wildlife Park at the moment.
Right. There's a lot of wild animals there. They want to be careful. I'm sure they'll be fine. Right. What's the plan for the weekend?
It's pretty lackluster, Ray, to be honest. Maybe a takeaway.
Right. Okay. Well, that's treat yourself, go wild. Now, five questions each, Donald and Shane. Whoever answers most correct gets the prize. If it's a draw at the end, we go to a tiebreak situation. Good luck, Shane. Good luck, Donald. Here we go. Right, first question for you, Donald. On this day in 1926, there was a military coup by General Manuel da Costa in Portugal. What is the capital city of Portugal?
Lisbon.
Yeah, I think that's come up before. On this day, 1952, the women of Greece were given the right to vote. What's the capital city of Greece?
Athens.
That's Shane. I was looking for, Shane.
Athens,
there you go. And you can say thanks to Donald for that. There you go. Second question for you, Donald, is an audio one. Have a listen to this. On this day in 1974, Donal, at the 26th Emmy Awards, that sitcom won the Outstanding Comedy Series Award. Can you name it?
MASH,
correct answer, yep. And for you, Shane, your audio question, have a listen to this.
Sunny day, sleeping up.
On this day, 1959, Jim Henson married Jane Nebel in Salisbury in Maryland. He created that children's TV show you heard. Can you name it?
Jim Henson.
Can you name the... go on.
What year was it made, sorry?
Jim Henson, well, that's irrelevant. We just need the name of the program that you heard the theme tune from.
I go Sesame Street.
Yeah, Sesame Street. That's it. That's it. Was
I didn't know where to go. Sesame Street.
Yeah, well, no, Sesame Street. Well done. Well done. Okay, Donal. Your third question. On this day in 1930, George Forbes became Prime Minister of New Zealand. How many stars are there on the flag of New Zealand? Four or five?
I don't know. I will go with four.
Yes, it's a good guess. You're correct.
Right.
And for you, Shane, on this day in 2003, Peter Hollingworth became the first Governor General of Australia to resign. How many stars are there on the flag of Australia? Five or six?
I go with five.
It's six. Right, you're on two. You're on three, Donal. Your fourth question is a music question. Have a listen to this. That song, Killing Me Softly, was at number one on this day in 1996. Can you name the group?
Fugees,
correct answer. Yeah, you know your stuff. Yeah. And for you, Shane, have a listen to this. That song, C'est la vie, was at number one on this day in 1998. Can you name the group?
I think this might be a stitch-up, Ray. Is that Bewitched?
Yes, your sister was in the band. Yeah, you said that. Yeah, that's a great coincidence, isn't it? Okay, so three plays four. Donal, if you get this right, Shane can't catch you. Okay, good luck with this. We're staying with pop music. Kylie Minogue, Australian pop star and singer, was born on this day in Melbourne. But in what year was she born? 1968, 1971 or 1974?
I'll go with 71.
It was 1968. She's 53 today. There you go.
Nice.
So she's older than you think. Now, Shane Lynch and Passage West. The door is ajar. So if you get this right, we're into a tiebreak situation. Good luck.
Okay.
On this day in 2013, Friends actress Courtney Cox and actor David Arquette divorced after 13 years of marriage. In what year was Courtney Cox born? 1960, 1964 or 1968?
Having a clue, I go 64.
It's a guess, and yeah, it's a good one, because you're right, yeah. She's 56, she was on the telly last night, she'll be 57 on June 15th. So that's a draw, lads, which brings us to a tie-break situation for all. Let's see how we go with this. Here's the question. On this day in 1779, poet and songwriter Thomas Moore was born in Dublin. According to Google Maps, how long would it take to walk from the GPO in Dublin to Navan in County Meath? Answer in hours and minutes. So, your guess, Donal?
21 hours.
21 hours.
I think so.
Yeah. Right. They used to say, remember there was a furniture shop up in Navan, they used to say an hour from Dublin. That's if you had a car. But we're walking on this occasion. It's 48 kilometres. Shane, what was your guess?
10, I think they said, right?
10 hours. Well, the correct answer is 9 hours and 50 minutes. So, Shane, you're today's winner. Donal, sorry about that. You started off so well.
Congratulations, Shane.
Yeah, yeah.
Commiserations, Donal.
Cheers.
Kylie Minogue, 1968. There you go. You'll never forget that, Donal.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah,
we'll send you out a couple of Ray D'Arcy Show mugs.
Brilliant, thanks,
right. Mind yourself, stay safe, and thanks for your service, as they say in the States. Thanks very much.
Fair
See you, Donal.
Thanks
See you now.
Bye.
Shane, well done.
Thanks a million, Ray. Much appreciated.
Yeah, you're going from Passage West into Cork City at some stage in the future to stay in the Radisson Blu in Cork, and loads of things to do for you and son Scott. So enjoy it.
Ray, thanks very much. Appreciate you taking the call.
Have a great weekend. See you now. Bye. Bye.
The Ray Dawson Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Fingers crossed, 21 degrees this weekend. Barbecue weather, and the suggestions are coming in for barbecue songs. These are songs to put on your barbecue playlist. We'll add them onto ours. Ellen says this one.
I love it when you call me senorita. I wish I could pretend I didn't need ya, but every touch is ooh la la la, it's true love.
Great suggestion, Ellen. Mike's been on, he says this one.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
And Noel says,
standing on your mama's porch.
No! No, Noel, no, 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 no. No. Sorry about that. It's a long story. It's a long story. I probably need therapy as a result of that song. I'll explain to you sometime in the future. Anyway, we're talking bacon after this. And Maliki wants to know if it's bacon or baking. That should answer your question, Maliki. Yeah, Bake Off. The Professionals made a return to our television screen this week. The show that pits professional pastry chefs against each other in teams of two. And this year, there's an Irish involvement. Rebecca Piccione from Abbey in Galway will appear in a few weeks, and she's on the line now from her home in Galway. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. Good to talk to you. This is very exciting.
Good to talk to you too. It's very exciting indeed. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about yourself. No. Have we lost you? Tell us a bit about yourself, Rebecca.
Sorry, Ray, I lost you there for a second. I thought you were gone.
I thought you were gone.
I don't know what happened there. Yeah. I'm good, sorry.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about yourself, Rebecca.
Well, I'm a Galway girl.
Yeah.
I studied in GMIT. I studied culinary arts. And then I moved off to London for 6 years and got stuck into pastry.
And was that always your ambition?
Do you know what? It actually wasn't. I started off and I wanted to go into the art kind of side of things. So I wanted to be an art teacher or some sort of kind of an art connection. And then I realised that it was more of a hobby than it would be a job for me. I don't like to be rushed through it. You know, as they say, don't rush an artist. I took that a bit too literally. So I was very laid back with that. And then I kind of realised that, you know, you can bring that field into the culinary side of things. You can create any type of dish and make it look as artistic as ever, especially these days. You know, you see some cakes out there, you don't even know if you can eat them or not. They don't look real, do you know?
They're too good to eat as opposed to good enough to eat.
They're too good to eat. That's it, yeah.
And of course, when it comes to art and food, they come together. The confluence of them is in pastry, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Like I found that when I found out that you can make like sculptures out of chocolate or out of sugar, I was sold completely from there on, because I've seen some stuff in London now that is just out of this world. And yeah, you really can like create as much. You've got such a freedom with it, you know, the same as you would with a paintbrush and a canvas. You can do the exact same thing with a dessert or even the savoury side as well. But then, you know, you do the modelling part and then you can create something out of chocolate by modelling as well. So, you know, there's a great connection between the two.
There is. Tell us about your surname, Piccione.
Piccione, yeah, it's not a very Irish name,
no.
Is it?
And you sound pure Irish,
it's
Rebecca.
It's my husband's surname. I got married to a Sicilian man, so I took his surname. So it's Piccione.
Right. And how are the Sicilians when it comes to pastry?
Oh, fantastic. Amazing.
Do you know,
I've definitely picked up a few bits from
Do you know, I was in Sicily years ago, and this, I've always tell people about this. I had this mad starter. It was a tube of squid stuffed with Madeira cake. Imagine that.
Oh, I've never heard of that one now. I'm not surprised, though. They come up with some of the most random things, but they're actually amazing to taste.
Yeah, it was delicious. Now, speaking of things that are good to taste, have you any suggestions for our listeners if they want something to accompany the barbecue burger? What would you suggest?
Well, something to accompany the barbecue burger. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I hope you're asking for me for dessert tips now, because that's my specialty. I dabble in the other side, but I definitely be more of a dessert kind of gal. I think like a good, if you do like a roulade or they're called Swiss rolls as well, which I think a lot of people would be more familiar with. There's rhubarb and strawberries that are in season at the moment, and they're absolutely amazing flavours. And it's quite easy to kind of throw together, and you can get a lot of portions out of it. So it's a great sharing dessert as well. So I think, yeah, that would be kind of a winner.
Great. Now, you've finished Bake Off, but you can't talk too much about it. There's a lot of that today.
Yeah, my lips are sealed. You know, you'll have to tune in.
Yeah. But try and convey to us how exciting it was to be involved, because it's such a huge show.
It is.
No. I think we've lost Rebecca for good. So we'll say goodbye to Rebecca and good luck on Bake Off, the professionals. And we'll play a bit of music instead, bring us up to the end of the programme. And let's hope that this weekend will bring us blue skies. Electric Light Orchestra, Mr. Blue Sky, fingers crossed. I'll say that again. Thanks to everybody who worked on the show today and during the week, to Neil and to Tommy and to Dave and the two Neves and Fiona and Emily upstairs. And a particular mention to our Neve Hamill, who's moving on to Pastures New. And we just want to say thank you very, very much. Good luck in whatever you do in the future, and we'll miss you something terribly. And a reminder to you, if you missed anything during the week, and we had some great stuff on during the week, Bill Bailey was very funny, David O'Doherty was very funny, you can listen back on podcast. And on Monday, Christy Moore was with us for an hour, and if you didn't hear it, well worth a listen. You might bring him and me on a walk with you over the weekend. Speaking of which, enjoy your weekend, whatever you do, do it safely. We'll talk to you on Monday. Cormac and Sarah are on the way. We'll say goodbye to the ELO, and we'll say goodbye to you. Good luck.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.